I mean, I don't think it's any surprise. You know, I feel like we are the. I can't think of another media institution in all of Houston that is more ripe, you know, to let the voiceless have a voice. And there's a lot of rich people that are enraged about this election yesterday. You know, there are law firms in town that dedicated staff members, you know, to an election that they thought they had in the bag, and I've been in most of them every week. And what I fear is and I don't know how much time people spend at the station, but I've spent a lot of time there. The people who work there, I see working crazy hours, doing 19 things at once to the absolute best of their ability. But, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and if we don't put resources into bringing money in, as I said at the last meeting, we're going to come to a point where the only thing to do is sell the house, sell the transmitter, sell the license. And I would love to see a commitment from the board to the staff, you know, for what they do and what can be done. And, you know, I'm just a volunteer at this point, but I'd sure like to be part of that process.
Well, I'm more than sure everyone wants you to be part of that process. We're supposed to have open arms here, but I'll take and own that and come in and make it happen, and you'll get the help. Rhonda?
Jerry, I can speak to the question that you had about the email from Tracy Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. First, I would like to share my opinion about Tracy Rosenberg. I don't know her. I've never met her. But I will say that she does put out the Pacifica in Exile, which many people get. And what I like about Pacifica in Exile is more often than not, she will give you information to back up what she's presenting. So that has been my personal experience. Now, Jerry Lynch brought up the fact that at the last PNB meeting, Lydia Brazon made a comment, I believe, that we owed an additional $90,000 or an additional $50,000. On the for the audit, and Tracy Rosenberg heard that, researched it, and then put out that email that you saw, because she wrote directly to the former CFO Sam Archibald, and he came back and said that the bill should be no more than $10,000 or $15,000. The audit committee met earlier this week, I think. And as y'all know, I listened to all of the PNB meetings. I was very concerned about that as well. Grace Aaron is someone who is on the PNB audit committee. I sent her an email asking her to address that in that committee. She attempted to do it, and the chair would not allow it to be discussed. And if I'm not mistaken, Venetia and Wesley voted as PNB members on the audit committee to support the chair's decision to not allow it to be discussed at the meeting. So I would very much appreciate if somebody would get back on that.
Did you miss the last meeting?
Okay, go right ahead.
So anyway, I find it suspicious or something, or just not quite right, that the PNB Audit Committee Chair would not even allow it to be discussed. I'm for transparency and talking about things. So, and Jerry, just so you know, if you go to the kpftx.org, mm-hmm. you can go to the archive and you can listen to the audit committee meeting when they referenced someone from KPFT wanting to know. That was Grace asking on my behalf.
All right. Do we have any more members who want to speak?
Oh, wait, I do have one more thing. Also, too, in the audit committee, they were talking about, they say 14, whatever, ready to go, just got to pay some more money. But they did say that the 2015 audit, that there was only, basically, that these aren't their words, my words, but basically only one station has complied 100% with what they need to do the audit, and that was one of the California stations. So basically the implication was made that the other four stations have not complied with requested information.
Right. There we have it. Yes, Robert.
Yeah, I'm Bob Gardner, for some of you that may not know my name. I was asked to sit in last night for Amy's broadcast to basically give station IDs and, you know, mind the store, which I did, and was accompanied by Mike Honig, who, you know, does a show on Monday nights. He expressed a lot of frustration with Amy's broadcast, and I really kind of had to agree with him that it wasn't much about, he thought it was a propaganda piece, and they really weren't discussing the election much at all. She had Ralph Nader on a lot, and I think it went on overall for 5 hours, and I just wound up feeling about that, and the devastating election being what it was, that, you know, we could have probably made much better use of that time. And it was also put in my ear that, you know, we seem to spend a whole lot of time, the other forms of media certainly, discussing the presidential candidates. And, you know, there's lots of candidates that are running, and these are things that I think our station maybe could have put more energies into is the other candidate races. I know, you know, judges are always the kinds of things that unless somebody gets singled out, like I think Sharon Keller did once for closing her door at 5 o'clock and somebody got executed, or things such as that, you never get to know or hear about much of substance to give you some thought as to whether you really want to pull that Democratic lever or Republican lever or something just for the sake of the fact that you're standing there in the voting booth and you have thoughts like I get sometimes that, you know, they're going to have a set of friends that are going to definitely be out there to try to get them elected. So might not be the person you want. You know, and other things were expressed to me, too, about Amy's broadcast. The debt that we have to Amy, whether that, you know, maybe we need, I mean, it's to discuss the Holy Grail, perhaps, to question Amy in any way, but how much money do we really bring in during Amy's broadcast, during fund drives now, relative to what we used to? It seems we used to bring in a whole lot. So, you know, maybe we need to think about that. Maybe, you know, paying her what we owe her. And if nothing else, renegotiating some of that and put some of that energy into things that will broaden the audience. I agree with Greg in the sense that when I manage Mike's show on Monday nights, granted he gets pretty much the same set of callers, but I think there's a lot of room for talk in the early evenings, and people can be, you know, they might pick up on that, and that could be expanded, and energy could be produced from that to help restore or feed the vitality of the station. I just get the feeling when I'm there, and Mike has his discussion show, that there is energy like that lurking. And certainly, Ed Berto's show and Jeff Burke's show, those shows are highly entertaining, and there are lots of people that are very interested in hearing them.
welcome. Is there anyone else? Hearing no one else, we'll now go to the general manager's report for 15 minutes.
All right. Wow. Oh, did we? When were we going to have the delegates meeting?
8:30. So that's the perfect timing for the 15 minutes. You're not going to be able to extend it for 30 minutes.
Okay. Right, this is perfect.
Pass press or anything? Okay. All right. Wasn't expecting this. Nice. Thank you. I don't know how tired y'all are, but this has been a pretty grueling couple of days. Usually I shave when I'm coming to meet with y'all, so I look a little better than I am. But and like I said last month, when I'm working up this report to y'all, I usually end up seeing something in it that...
You need a copy?
No, I have one that I was writing notes on.
I didn't see anything on the ones I sent.
There we go. I usually see a couple things in there. I mailed those out this afternoon around the time those minutes got sent around. Some addenda to drop into it. Cliff Smith from Songlines and the community dialogue show. I really am glad the way that it has worked out with Obadike being so willing to kind of retrain himself over a period of a couple of weeks, and now he's kind of flying free in that slot, holding it open in the hopes that Cliff will eventually be able to make it back to the station. He's currently in the hospital still. He's been in there now for a week and a half. And his prognosis is it's improving some from the information I've gotten from the woman who's in charge of the group house where he's been living. Something else that's not listed in the programming section of the report is the fact that next Tuesday there is a National Celebration Day, which is code for a fund drive for the Pacifica Radio Archives. And it's a 12-hour marathon, coast to coast, all stations. And it's kind of it's an opportunity to celebrate the Pacifica Radio Archives, and they will populate their, it's kind of like their Pledge Central, which is a performance studio next to the studios in the KPFK building, because the archives live upstairs since they lost their building 20 years ago or so to help fund the KPFA expansion. So Archives Day is next Tuesday. It'll run our time from, actually it runs from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., so it's more than 12 hours. And as part of it, it's all originating from the archives. It's all originating from L.A. It's going to be satellite-linked to the whole country, except for the 1 o'clock hour, which is going to be live from Houston, because it just so happens to be the 20th anniversary of the program Sound Awake with Jeffrey Thames. And Jeffrey had arranged just fortuitously a live in-studio visit and performance from the musicians Robin Hitchcock and Robin and Emma are going to be in the studio playing live, and we're going to be feeding that to the whole country. So it's kind of a coup that of all the stations, KPFT is the only one that's going to be feeding in a live hour into this national celebration day. And it will be salted with, the 800 number for people to call to the folks out at the archives who are going to be answering phones out there. I wanted to mention in the acknowledgments, I talked about the kids from HIIS, the Houston Academy for International Studies, the Trey kids who come in with Stephanie Coleman, and they come in about 8:39 in the morning on Fridays and stay till mid-afternoon. And they've been getting trained up. They are they're working as a collective. They have some great ideas, a lot of energy, and they've bought wholeheartedly into and are really beginning to get excited about not just producing a show that they can call their own, but something, and it's great to see you wearing the old T-shirt, Wesley. The BAM 365 is going to be reborn through them, and they are working on scripts. They're working on research. The project will generate by the end of January, kicking off Black History Month, we'll roll out the first in a daily series of minutes that they're going to have produced, with theme music, intros, outros, and a little bit of information for each day, not just for February, but it's going to continue through March and then all the way around the year. And there may even be multiple different spots on different days where there's a lot of things happening, because things happen. There's not a limit of just one a day. So that rebirth of BAM 365, Black History Month 365, is it's something real exciting. It's got the kids real excited. We're all excited. Everybody, if you know, come by the station on a Friday and you'll get excited. Let's see, a couple other things that aren't in here. One that is, it's mentioned in here twice. One in the events section. One at the end. We're having a gathering next Thursday night downtown at the Conservatory, which is at 1010 Prairie Street. It's in between Main and Fannin. It is downstairs, one block below street level, and it's an underground food hall and beer garden. And we're beginning a program starting next Thursday of having music. In this case, it's going to be the Generation Radio crew, Yoshi and some of the folks from Generation will be in the down there in the corner mixing it up Bhangra style, and that will be the kickoff for what will be a nice outreach opportunity for KPFT. But this first one is intended to be an appreciation event for the staff, the volunteers, for y'all. Y'all are volunteers, so y'all are invited to come down to 1010 Prairie Street, 7 to 10 p.m. next Thursday evening for a little KPFT party we could all use to have our spirits lifted, particularly after the, you know, the last 24 hours.
Next
Thursday. Yeah, next Thursday evening. I did want to address a couple things that came up in y'all's PNB reports and back and forths and stuff, and just things that have been going on. In terms of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and us not getting our community service grant monies and things like that, we do and have and have been very consistent in actually complying, though we're not receiving. We're acting as if and trying to model good behavior so that when the CPB someday may actually think about giving Pacifica some money again, that they won't look back and say, well, gee, KPFT didn't do their mandatory three consecutive days of announcing the same thing, saying that we comply with open meetings requirements and things like that. So that's a task that's been farmed out to Otis at the national level to be an overseer for the whole network, and he has been pretty scrupulous about that, and he gets on station's case if they don't do it. And I know that we just did it recently, so we've been maintaining this posture in the hopes that someday we would get back some of the nearly half a million dollars over the past 3 years that we should have received and haven't. And in terms of lost revenue, I've heard this, and I even had to address this with our ED, interim ED, Lydia Brazon, who has a number of times mischaracterized KPFT as not being CPB qualified due to diminished minority tune-in. And that's That is not true. There was a letter sent to Pacifica 3 years ago, I think, saying that, you know, you used to get little add-ons, little multiplier effects if you had a cumulative tune-in of 40% minority listenership as measured by Arbitron, or now Nielsen, over a series of three consecutive quarters. And we have rarely maintained that level, certainly not over three consecutive quarters. And so over a period of years, and I can go in right now and look into the CPB website and see what KPFT should have received. And every year that we haven't received money, we've been qualified to. We are qualified to. Were we not qualified to, it wouldn't only hurt us in terms of funds we should have received and haven't, which is kind of the gut punch that we're all suffering from and have been now, getting 15% of your budget sucked away through, you know, not having a national office that can complete a consolidated audit is a terrible thing. But we've done everything that we can at this end to be ready for the eventuality, as far-fetched as it may seem to all of us on a practical level, of ever getting any CPB money back. But it sure is low-hanging fruit, and I can't believe Pacifica can't grab it. But, you know, whatever you think about CPB and their politics. And you know, now in the Trumposphere, of course, though it's like one microscopic sliver of one penny's worth of tax dollars, it'll probably be the thing that, you know, that's targeted and gets vaporized so that we can go, you know, blow something else up somewhere. And then, you know, I've noticed in the last week or two some conflict amongst some members, not present actually, with our chair over postings of agendas and things like this for the meetings. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but I get the proposed agenda when it gets sent out to everybody. And the first thing I do is, well, first I clean it up so that it fits on two pages, because it kind of runs a little stretched. And so I eliminate some of the blank space on some of it so it fits. And then I print it out and I post it on the bulletin board right there in the lobby. And so the day that it's sent out, it's there. In terms of putting it up on our website, we haven't done that since the website got changed a number of years ago. But the secretary of the board here used to send it to our webmaster, who used to then send it to Otis, who would post it. And Otis has given every secretary that I know access to the posting function at KPFTX, which is the official place where all of these committee meetings are put, and theoretically agendas too. So, sorry Hank's not here to hear this too, but you know, that stuff is all, I mean, there's a system. Otis kind of volunteers a lot of his time to maintain that system virtually for free. So I don't like to see that complained about. I think that's enough stuff that's not already written in there.
Okay. We've got a balance of about 4 minutes here, so haven't heard from this member. Go ahead.
Oh, I just simply want to ask the question regarding the report. I'm just completely baffled and amazed at the statement, and I would like your clarification, Mr. Bradley, regarding your statement that according to the Arbitron readings or whatever, we should have received CPB monies when we did not receive CPB monies. So I am completely blown away by this statement. My understanding goes back to at least 4 years ago, and I believe it was 5 years ago, because at that time I was a member of one of the LSB committees, the governance committee to be exact, and at that time is when we were discussing, and this was before I came on the board 4 years ago, the whole need to fulfill the CPB grant that required that a certain percentage of minority listeners be reached within the broadcast area of KPFT. So I'm completely blown away by your statement that supposedly we should have received monies that were not given. I do not understand what you're saying.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel blown away, but the time period you're referencing and today or even a year or two ago, the rules at CBB have changed about, well, in 2013, the letter that I referenced earlier in my comments. But, you know, if you want to go back 5 years, fine. They used to have three different percentage add-ons that you could get bonus points, i.e. extra dollars for. One was if you had a majority-minority staff. I looked around the staff when I had my last meeting. I was the only white guy there. So we have a pretty much majority-minority staff. Always have. And it wasn't made that way in order to get funds. It's just a representation of the community. Another was majority-minority board. And not this board so much, the national board. And it has to be, you know, calculating that out is based on the composition of the national board on January 1st of the year for which you're looking at it. And then the third little bonus point was whether or not at that point it was whether on consecutive quarters you had a cumulative 30% or more as measured by Arbitron services. And if you didn't have the information, which we don't anymore because we collectively, finance committee mostly, elected to eliminate the research data that we used to get, like it eliminated the BBC like we used to get, we therefore no longer can extract our own quarters and say, well, no, we want you to look at these over the last period of time, and they just will take the ones they want to take, and they're not always necessarily the quarters that are to our benefit. I used to be able to argue with our CPB people if I didn't like the way those little bonus multipliers were coming down. And it doesn't really matter so much anymore because 3 years ago, after the time you're referencing, the rules related to how much of a multiplier effect and how that was going to be granted were changed. So, sorry you're blown away by that.
Well, to make our point, I'm not blown away at all. And I read the report of CPB, and it did state that KPFT, as well as other stations, had fallen short. And it had the real purpose of them filing that violation was that KPFT had shown no plan to recapture. So, I read the report myself. Your interpretation of it may be different, but
absolutely
it was
that
KPFT did not present a plan moving forward to correct that issue. Now, we are at the 8:30 hour, which means we're going into our executive session. We're going
Mr.
into
Chair.
Our delegate session.
Violation.
So, well, you know, we can go back and forth.
Please put that on the record.
Can we, Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Orders of the day?
Yes, the orders of the day is we're pulling up these amendments so that we can vote on these amendments.
Mr. Chair, point of information?
Yes, sir.
Can we get back to Q&A for the GM report after this?
I don't know. Let's do this and then get back, go forward. We got other things besides the GM here to take care of on this agenda.
Yeah.
Which we moved some things up.
I'd vote against that if I had a vote.
Well, I think you'll get your will tonight,
We need to take...
Stand back for roll call. Go ahead.
Alana Pura.
Here.
Teresa Allen.
Present.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Adriana Casanese.
Yep.
Mary Elena
Castellanos. That's all right. You do better than I do.
Maria Elena.
That's all right. Hey.
Castellanos.
Give me a B+.
Maria Elena Castellanos is here.
I'm gonna give her my grandmother's name and say it's CT.
Don Cook.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
I'll get that one right.
Best
Hank Lamb. Wayne Lark.
Present.
Gerald Lynch.
Here.
Susan Moreno.
Here.
Susan Radwin. Nancy Severa Naratomi.
Saibana Naratomi. Present.
Deborah Shafto.
Here.
Deb Weiskel.
Castellanos.
Kevin White. Venetia Patel Adams. Kelly Cox. Joseph Davis.
Present.
Mike Lewis.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Cliff Smith. Wayne Bradley.
Present.
We definitely have a quorum.
All right. We have a quorum. Now, as I understand it, we have two items of business to take care of. Two proposed amendments sent down to us from the Precipity National Board. Did anybody care to read them since they've been posted since August 15th? Have you read them?
I don't know.
I'm just asking the question that I've mentioned this at least two or three meetings moving forward.
Because they weren't included in tonight's agenda. I don't know why. It's on the agenda. It's a motion. It should be on the agenda. It wasn't there.
I didn't read the agenda.
You knew we were going to do these bats, so you can.
Well, I answered your question. Can I read them?
No.
Mr. Chair, I
move. Whoever want to read them, read them.
I move that we add them to the agenda.
Okay. I have no objections. Someone want to read the amendment?
Who got the complete thing? Who got it?
Thank you.
This is an amendment to change the frequency of elections as an economy measure from two out of every 3 years, four elections in 6 years, to every other year in odd number of years. Three elections in 6 years. This would also avoid conflict between Pacific elections and national elections. It would change the term from 3 years to four, and the term limit from 6 years to eight. Language is as follows. All elections for delegates shall be by written ballot. Is this correct? Whew. It's a lot. Hold your horses. This is the article to change Article 4. Delegates, Section 3, Election of Delegates, is its subtitle. It will read, this is the amendment, all elections for delegates shall be by written ballot provided, however, that election supervisor shall also have the option of providing a secure electronic means of voting via the internet. Members shall only have the right to vote for delegates for the foundation radio station for which the member is affiliated. Members shall vote in classes. Listener-sponsored members shall elect 18 delegates for each radio station, and staff members shall elect 6 delegates for each radio station, for a total of 24 delegates for each radio station, as it reads, each foundation radio station. Elections of delegates shall be held every other year in odd numbered years, with half of the listener sponsor delegates and half the staff delegates up for election each time, beginning with the 2019 election and continuing with the 2021 election. The election scheduled for 2018 will be held under the old bylaws provisions for a 3-year term to establish the pattern of elections in odd number years, commencing in 2019 and 2021. The ballots shall be counted by single transferable voting number. All ballots related to the election and the removal of any and all delegates shall be filed with the Foundation Secretary and maintained with the corporate records for a period of 3 years. That is the proposed change.
That's just part of it.
Can someone who supported that speak to it?
Okay, as Bill stated, that's one half of it. The other half is Article 4, Delegates, Section 8, Delegates' Term Limits, or Terms of Office Term Limits. A delegate's term of office shall be 4 years, beginning in December. A delegate may serve a maximum of 2 consecutive 4-year terms. And in no event more than 8 consecutive cumulative years without a 1 year, 12 consecutive months break. If a delegate serves as an elected or alternate for an incomplete year, those months of service must be counted for the 8 consecutive cumulative years limit. Only a 1 year, 12 consecutive months lapse as a delegate will trigger the reset for the 8 years cumulative limit. Candidates elected in 2016 or 2018 would have a personal consecutive cumulative years term limit of 8 years rather than the old limit of 6 years. So a candidate elected for the first time in 2016 would be eligible to run for a full term in 2019. A delegate shall not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 1 year has elapsed after the termination of the delegate's second consecutive 4-year term. The term 8 years cumulative limit is also applicable regardless of which station or stations a delegate has served as its delegate. For example, if a delegate serves 8 years on a local station board at any station, that delegate may not serve at another station where the delegate may be a member until 1 year has lapsed after the 8 years cumulative limit. Also, if any delegate serves any portion of a term or the consecutive cumulative 8 years limit at one station, that time of service carries over as cumulative toward service as a delegate at another station. Note, this has no impact on the current 1 year term and 5 consecutive term limits on directors. It also has no impact on the term limit of the term length or the term limit to people elected in the 2015 election. Now the author submit for your consideration the resulting language, which I guess gives you a synopsis of what these words I just read mean. Article 4, Delegate Section 3, Election of Delegates. All elections for delegates shall be by written ballot, provided, however, that the election supervisor shall also have the option of providing a secure electronic means of voting via the Internet. Members shall only have the right to vote for delegates for the Foundation radio station for which the member is affiliated. Members shall vote in classes. Listener-sponsored members shall elect 18 delegates for each radio station, and staff members shall elect 6 delegates for each radio station, for a total of 24 delegates for each foundation radio station. Elections of delegates shall be held every other year in odd numbers, with a half for the listener-sponsored delegates and half for the staff delegates up for election each time,
Mr. Chair,
beginning with 2019.
This is actually just repeating what you read.
Yeah. Well, it says the resulting language, so...
Well, the first part had what was removed and what was
taken
out.
Well, let me finish. Okay. Article 4, Delegate Section 8, Delegate's Term of Office, Term Limits. A delegate's term of office shall be 4 years, beginning in December. A delegate may serve a maximum of 2 consecutive 4-year terms, and in no event more than 8 consecutive cumulative years without a 1 year, 12 consecutive month break. If a delegate serves as an elected or alternate for an incomplete year, those months of service must be counted toward the 8 consecutive cumulative years limit. Only a 1 year, 12 consecutive months lapse as a delegate will trigger the reset of the 8 years cumulative limit. Candidates elected in 2016 or 2018 would have a personal consecutive cumulative years term limit of 8 years rather than the old limit of 6 years. So a candidate elected for the first time in 2016 would be eligible to run for a full term in 2019. A delegate shall not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 1 year has elapsed after the termination of the delegate's second consecutive four-year term. The term 8 years cumulative limit is also applicable regardless of which station or stations a delegate has served as its delegate. For example, if a delegate serves 8 years on the local station board at any station, that delegate may not serve at another station where the delegate may be a member until 1 year has lapsed after the 8 years cumulative limit. Also, if any delegate serves any portion of a term or consecutive cumulative 8 year limit at one station, that time of service carries over as cumulative toward service as a delegate at another station. Proposed by Michael Novick, Jim Brown, Adriana Casanave, Brian Edwards Tinker, Jan Goodman, Nancy Sorden, and Margie Wilkinson. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have it down by now, you're probably not going to get it. So, what is your pleasure? Those in favor of the motion, to carry the motion, please raise your hand.
We're granting discussion.
Oh, well, discussion. Right, anyway. Y'all not asleep. Go ahead. For or against, how y'all going to do this? For those who are against, speak first. I'll forever hold your peace. Okay, question.
Because I'm not speaking for and against, just to clarify. Uh-oh. So essentially what it does is it changes the term limits from 6 years to 8 years, and it makes the terms 4 years long. And so instead of having elections two out of every 3 years, you'd have them every other year. And I'll just say there's pros and cons of that.
Okay. Oh, wait.
All right,
the devil is in the
If you have questions, let's ask, but maybe they're clear.
The devil is always in the detail.
I'm ready to speak against.
Go right ahead.
Number one, the general goal, I believe, should be to pass whatever amendments necessary in order to facilitate greater diversification in terms of generations, not just in terms of ethnic background or gender, but in terms of millennials. How many millennials do we have on this board out of 24? What is it?
And a
millennial meaning you reached 18 after the year 2000. What? Two millennials. That's what it means. Okay. The point is this. I speak against this amendment because it would increase the single term from 3 years to 4 years, which definitely makes it that much more difficult for a more frequent flow and turnover of the current octogenarian in some cases, septuagenarian in some cases, sextagenarian people, that is people who are in their 60s, 70s, and I don't know if there's anybody at this date yet. But the point is, it makes it very difficult in order to bring in the younger generations, especially the millennials, if we extend it from a 3 to 4 year term. And the second reason I'm against this is because it's so damn complicated. My gosh! What? Every other year an election? I believe that if the terms themselves were a maximum of 2 years, I could justify that to some extent because it would increase the opportunity for new people to come in at a regular pace. But the main thing is that it really gives it facilitates the boomer the baby boomer generation. That's anybody born between 1944 and 1964. That's the baby boomer generation. There's a whole bunch of us here, including myself, that really should just say, hey, now is the time for us to take a supportive role and let the millennials take the reins. I don't care. I'm not only speaking for myself. I'm speaking for, I believe, the truth, what the truth is, and that it's time for the baby boomers, the aging, and I'm not saying everybody ages at the same pace or everybody has the same senility setting in or not. I'm just simply saying that as a matter of principle, it's time for the old fogies, and excuse me for using a very clear phrase, for the old fogies to, they've had their chance to shit, it's time for them to get off the pot and let the young fogies come in. That's it.
Now, though, I'd like to hear someone against, I mean for, rather. Who's for it? I think we're ready to vote, though.
Well, I mean, I think it reduces the number of elections, which is a good thing, saves some money, which is a good thing. You know, anybody who wants to, however old you are, can run for this office every 2 years, so what's the deal? So I'm fine with going to vote for it, yeah.
Any other comments or questions? Go ahead.
I am the advisor to the HISD Student Congress. I love working with young people. But you know, damn it. We are opposed to sexism. We're opposed to racism. But blatantly, this ageism.
No, it's not.
Goddamn right it's ageism.
No, this is his time. Let him have his say.
Oh, please,
please. If she can say shit or get off the pot, I can say goddamn
it. We're all grown ups here. No children in this room. Go right ahead.
All right.
This is the seventh, and it's after 9 o'clock.
I said we had a chance to shit, now it's time for us to get off the pot.
Let him speak, please.
Too fucking this pie in the sky idea that we're going to get young people to get involved in this thing. We try like the Dickens to get them involved in committees. They are very busy.
Personal privilege?
You get your turn. Millennium.
And, some but not a lot do. We ought to do a better job of getting young people involved in this radio station. But I wish we had more young people on the board. But the bottom line is you weigh this age issue versus this economic issue. And I come down on the fact that financially we don't have the money to conduct these elections on as frequent a basis as we do right now.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a point of
I have a millennial that's just raring to go.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
And I'd like to comment on the old farts thing.
yeah. And I want to comment. Whatever the millennial got to say, I want to comment on it.
Something is that they want to add to that. God said that. We will reduce the amount of elections. But I think that it's a need that we saw it this year. When you have election, national election, at the same time that we have KPFA election, it's a disaster. We just saw it, right? I mean, that is the reality, and that's why they are trying to. That's why it's the first one go only 3 years, because we are trying to get out of the cycle of the national elections. And I believe that it's true. We need new people, all that you want, but the new people need to come. You see.
That
doesn't change anything.
Let me get a stack. I've got Ms. Patel. Actually, Teresa.
I'll go after Bill. They put trade places with Bill. He can have mine. I want to hear
Jerry, did you have some? Anissa. Okay, go ahead.
I am for the amendment, pretty much for the reasons that were outlined when you read the really long thing. In my opinion, what y'all are saying of what you're saying about the age thing is true, but I don't want that to discourage you from voting for this, because that's just not the problem regarding the age thing. That's not the problem. So.
What is the problem?
Honestly, I think that a lot of people in this room don't want to give up their power. I think that's the problem.
Well, so you want to get rid of the old people.
No, I don't want to get rid of anyone.
Okay. You want to...
You want to get on that?
I want to speak out against it.
Because you asked a question I think is very germane, and I would be remiss if I didn't respond, given that I've spent the last 20 of my years in this area trying to recruit young people to do things and take leadership responsibility. Many of them don't want to do it, and that's just the bottom line. I don't see us blocking folk out of coming in. At least my personal experience has been that old folk are pushing folk out. Young folk got their own focus, and KPFT obviously is not it. Next up is Bill.
I want the chair to put himself on the spot.
You know, I'm not necessarily for or against, I guess, except that I think this does. One of the problems we have is getting people willing to run for the board who are not like us, that are just seem to be on here a long time. And longer terms makes it harder to do. It's hard to get people to commit for 3 years. I think it's even harder to get people to commit for 4 years. And sure, they can always resign, but then that kind of defeats the purpose of having the longer terms. So. And I think the term limit of 8 years is kind of long. I think this should be part of a more comprehensive bylaws amendment. You know, the bylaws have so many problems with them, and we're trying to, you know, take one little part and change it and everything, and it may make something else worse. And I think Jerry has some points, too.
Teresa?
I see boards at my church. I see boards with Amnesty International. I see boards with ACLU and Sierra Club and several other organizations. I vote for them. And whether or not it's good, it's through some sort of nominating committee. And we go through a very complicated, expensive, political campaign and election process. I'd like to see it that we did it not as often. I don't think that the reason that I don't think that our elections cause fewer millennials to participate. When I look at people that run for Sierra Club, for example, you usually have one or two young people out of the nine. But when you look at the credentials and what they've accomplished, they usually have a long list of things that they've accomplished that they're ready for the national board. They've done, you know, campaigns, for the environment, and you know, they've worked in just some really organized projects, and they've demonstrated leadership. So, I mean, I would like to see young people, but I'd also like to see qualified people that can handle budget, some people with some HR experience, some people with some, fundraising experience, lawyers, accountants. So, I think the argument of, like, old fogies is not quite on the mark. I do like the fact that it's slightly fewer elections, and I'm wondering if someday we will ever get to the fact that we would trust a nominating committee.
Point of clarification.
Yes, ma'am.
Point of clarification.
There's no such point. There is no such thing as a point of order. Clarify what you want to clarify, ma'am.
Okay, I will clarify. I was not proposing to get rid of the old fogies. I was simply proposing that we, and I include myself in that very clear phrase of old fogies, understand there comes a time in life where there's a season for everything and every role.
That's true.
All right? And there's a time that where the old fogies on this board should understand that we must metamorphosize, we must change the type a role we play from that of front leader to supportive back seat leader.
I agree with that.
In support of the new up front millennials. So I simply wanted to clarify. I do not.
Y'all misunderstood her.
And that is why I immediately protested the characterization of my statements as reflective of ageism. I'm not proposing at all. It's simply important that we continue, but not in a LSB.
I got a stack here. Lisa?
What is
your point of order?
We have a bylaw amendment. We need to talk about the bylaw amendment.
We cannot answer and say because something needs to be changed. We need to vote. We cannot change.
You mean I can't change? I can't make an adjustment on this bylaw tonight and send it back to them the way we want it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Very clear.
Yes, I need yes to or no?
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that KPFT is the city's greatest secret. I talk to people on the bus
true.
All the time, and
true.
I ask them, it's like, I always ask them, I was like, are you a KPFT listener? And everybody looks at me like I have three heads, because people don't know about our station. And I say, everybody who sits around me on a bus, I guarantee, most of the time will ask me, what station is that? Is that AM or FM? You know, I mean,
it is a secret.
It's I mean, because it's like
that's
we're
not
a
CIA.
Jerry,
no, I withdraw any comment.
Oh, Jerry withdraws. Comes Joseph.
Okay, just one item that hasn't been mentioned yet. Since the terms will be increased from 3 years to 4 years, this would actually be more of a chance as a person who recently joined and had to learn a whole lot of Robert's Rules of Order, procedural things like this. That takes time. You may spend a year on the board before you really get your feet under you. So now instead of being 2 useful years of work and 1 year of learning, you maybe have 3 useful years of work and 1 year of learning. So I think that's a point. That's all.
Call the question.
Well, I don't believe it's appropriate to call the question when everybody who wants to speak has not spoken, Mr. Robert Rules of Order. So if, in fact, there's anyone here who would want to speak that haven't spoken, we want to recognize this point of order. Otherwise, we're going to jump on this point of order real fast if no one else wants to speak so we can expedite this matter.
Jerry's in the toilet.
Jerry said he don't want to speak.
I second Ted's motion.
Well, it don't need to be second. I already see that there is an agreement that we need to dispense of this matter. Those in favor of this motion, please raise your hands.
It's a roll call vote, right?
Can we wait for
that is a roll call vote. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry is out of the room. So
Robert's rule.
Yeah, we can call him on the roll when he comes back.
Alon.
In favor.
Teresa Allen.
Come back.
Okay. Are you going to pass all together or just for the moment?
No, just for the moment.
Okay. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Adriana?
Yes.
Mary Elena
Castellanos. Yeah, all of us can mess it up. That way she don't know who's doing it.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
Castellanos.
Votes against.
Castellanos.
Phil Collins. Don Cook.
Abstain.
Bill Crozier.
Abstain.
Anissa Faruqi. Nay.
A point of information before I said. Everybody has realized that abstain is effective no, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Help us out.
Okay, Dwayne Lark.
No.
Nope.
Gerald Lynch is out. Susie Moreno?
No.
Susan
Radwin. I'm going to wait a minute, see what Teresa does.
you're undoing the influencing members with your vote. That's just not right.
Nancy Severo, okay. Mary Tomey.
Oh my gosh.
Nancy. Yes,
that's Sibara.
Pass.
What's your vote?
She wants to see how the rest of them vote, obviously.
Her mom
does. Is she
going to be able to vote?
Yeah, she passed.
No, she said pass.
Pass.
Her mom
she'll back to her.
She'll be back.
Deborah's up now.
Deborah?
Yes.
Ted Weiskel?
Yes.
Venetia?
Yes.
Donnie Cox is not here. Joseph Davis?
Yes.
Mike Lewis?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Quiz. Oh, that's it. Sigley.
Alan says yes.
Okay.
We'll go back to Jerry Lynch.
Is he here? No.
No, he's not that.
Okay, then I'm going to say yes.
Nancy's in her room. Jerry, your vote, yes or no?
Nancy's in the bathroom with mom.
No. That's okay. No, too much of it.
No, my vote's
yeah,
no.
Well, okay. You know.
That's basic human function.
True.
This is a two-thirds requirement.
Nancy gets to
decide.
12-4,
she votes
for it, it passes.
Oh, okay. Give me the count, please.
It's 12-5. We're just waiting for Nancy to vote.
Well, what's the count as it is?
12-4.
And Jerry just voted?
Once you announce
Andy
it, it's over.
Not four is against.
Well, once you announce the count, it's over.
We need 13.
People that abstain, you have not voted. What's the score? 12-4. 12-7.
And we had some pass. Did you go back to them?
Yeah, we're doing that now.
Okay, go back to the pass.
This is the last pass.
She has a pass.
This is the last pass.
It's up to you. Yes or no? You get to decide.
Well, Teresa voted yes.
Teresa voted?
Let's see what's going to result.
Teresa voted
yes. She voted yes. But... No, you know, I'm so tired. I didn't have any energy to go for Jill Stein or to tell anybody. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Susan can be influenced by Teresa.
What
I can be influenced by you.
Flip a coin.
Point of order. At this point, I don't think it's time for discussion. It's just time for votes.
Yes, I know. School teacher.
One to speak.
Please.
Much discussion.
Come on, please.
Yes.
Yay,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like yes. A choice no. Between Trump and Hillary.
Just yes or no. And if I run, I'll step back if there's a young one in it.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I vote yes.
Yay!
Move.
We
have a second one.
The motion passes. Will you certify that, Madam?
How did the motion pass?
Because we had 13 votes, I understood.
13, yeah.
Well, that means it passes.
Yeah.
Now, yes. Moving forward,
wait,
I'm not going to argue the merits of the vote.
Abstain? Does that count in favor?
No.
Listen, there are 24 members of this body. The bylaws state that you have to have a majority. Don't care how many showed up. A majority is 13 of this body. So 13 passed this motion. That's it.